the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I am your host, Christine Lakin. And with me today is always...
Stephen Ray Morris. I'm right here, comfy on the couch.
I know. I'm sitting next to you today. It's I feel like we're on a little Friday afternoon date,
yeah,
Stephen.
Yeah, I love it. Floating on a couch plane.
Alaa is still on the East Coast, but fortunately or unfortunately for you all, I have him on speaker. Go ahead and say hello, Alaa.
Did you do an intro without me?
What? No, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast. I've been generous enough to let Alaa park his car out in front of our house, mm-hmm. Because we don't have any real, restrictions. But apparently the old woman next door said to Brandon, there's street sweeping every Wednesday. He was like, oh no. So he did move it to the other side to allow them to sweep the street.
There's street sweeping. You don't have to move it. There's not a sign.
No, I know, but I think she wanted the street to be clean. And your car was in the way. Well, he moved it for you and moved it back, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was going to get you Super Bowl tickets if your team would have won.
I know. This is really... I don't want to talk about it again. My husband shaved off his beard the day after that horrible game because I think It was like he was like a 12-year-old who had just broken up with his, girlfriend and then decided to cut bangs, but he just shaved his beard. It was an emotional cut. Okay, we have a lot to discuss. It's going to be a long, what do you call it, reconciliation when I see you next, I guess. But can you tell us one small thing, one small worst ever story from your time abroad? In Atlanta, abroad.
Hotlanta.
Let's see. So it snowed maybe an inch here.
Right.
And when I say I've never seen a city shut down in my life over an inch of snow, and I live in Southern California, so, I get it, but you couldn't even find a restaurant that was open.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, about 3 years ago, they thought some flurries were going to come through. So they didn't close the schools because they're like, it's only going to be maybe like half an inch. It's not going to happen till later. So they kept the schools open all day. Turned out to be one of the biggest disasters in Atlanta because the snow started to fall. It was much worse than everybody thought. There was gridlock traffic. Everyone had to stop driving because no one has chains and there were no snow plows and nothing was salted and there was no infrastructure for that. Children were stuck at schools overnight. There was so much ice on the roads. I mean, it was awful. So now you have to understand they don't have the money to deal with it, but they're also overly cautious about everything.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. The infrastructure here in Atlanta, there's like 10 or 11 productions shooting here in Atlanta right now as we speak. The traffic is ridiculous. And they're talking about Amazon headquarters HQ2, moving to Atlanta. And I'm like, where the fuck are they going to put all these people? And are they going to fix any of these roads?
Well, you're on the ground floor there, man. You really are. You're just, you need to start a campaign. I mean, I feel you. It's my hometown.
I happened to meet with Ms. Abrams, who's running for governor of Georgia.
Okay.
And the first question I asked her, I was like, what's up with the fucking roads?
Did you say fuck?
I always say fuck.
Okay, and what was she in agreement?
She said yes. She said, here's the issue. She said, in Atlanta, for instance, like there'll be, like, say, okay, we know Peachtree is like the largest street in Atlanta, right?
Right, one of the seven Peachtrees, yeah.
One of the seven Peachtrees, but the main Peachtree.
Right.
So she said, well, the problem is like a portion of it is owned by the county. Another portion's owned by the city. Another portion's owned by the federal government. So it just depends on who has the money and who's fixing what.
Oh, that's weird. I never knew
that. It's really strange the way they have it set up.
Okay. Well, keep fighting the good fight, and it's always interesting to talk about traffic.
42 degrees here in Atlanta, by the way. 42.
I know. Do you know it's 83 here? I talked to my parents this morning. I was like, how is it? My mom's like, it's 39, very windy. No one can play golf. So.
Not yet invited me for a tea or a rosé.
Weird, because when I talked to her this morning, she asked where you were and why you were not present in person on the podcast. When I told her you were in Atlanta, she goes, I can't believe he hasn't called me.
I don't have her number. How would I call her?
Oh my God. How does anything happen in this day and age? I'm sure you couldn't get it from me if you texted me.
Oh, well, Christine, guess who knew I was in Atlanta for 2 months? That'd be you. So maybe you should have said, hey, why don't you reach out to my parents? They want to invite you over for a cocktail.
Well, let's not go that far. I don't know if they wanted to invite you over, but it would have been nice if you had at least called and said, I'm in your own hometown and your roads are fucking horrible.
By myself all week in a 5-bedroom house in Buckhead, so she can call me. I'm happy to do a little high tea or something.
Okay. All right. I'll put you both on. Okay. I'll put you on a text thread and y'all can figure it out. All right. It's been lovely. It's been real. But I got to get to our guests this week.
Our guests
this week, I'll go ahead and introduce them. Try not to open a box or go under a hood of a car for the next 20 seconds, if possible. Our guests this week are two friends of mine who I actually did meet through a Allow. I'll give you credit. Anne Gregory and Sean Casey. Yes, they are married. They are both comedians, actors, writers. They're just hilarious people. And they both star as versions of themselves on this new season of Hollywood Darlings. My husband and I go out on a double date with them, and it goes somewhat awry, I'd say. Anyway, they were amazing on the show. They were so fun to work with and very funny in their own right. Sean and Anne, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christine.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hi.
All right. What?
I'm going to get out. I got to go because it's like 4 something and I need a cocktail. So you guys have a great interview. Sorry I couldn't be there. I'm sorry that the interview is not going to be as fun with me not there, but Christine will
agree.
Do her job, I guess.
Yeah. People are liking me solo. So, all right. It's been real. Good luck with the roads.
Christine, people like you solo because the way you preface it, like it's like an amazing thing and not to have me around. Let's just be clear.
Well, it's definitely cheaper. I'm having a lot more of my own lunch. I'm eating a lot more of my own food. So,
great.
Okay.
Stephen Ray.
Miss you.
We're doing an episode alone without her and seeing how the fans react. I guarantee it's going to be a much better fucking show. Love you guys. Bye.
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 Oh my God, he's such a nightmare.
He seemed fun. He's very fun.
Do you know how many times you guys... he called me before you got here. I mean, at 12:39, 12:45, 1:03. He has so much FOMO about this podcast and the fact that I'm not letting him on it because he's just so annoying.
You answer any of those calls?
Oh, no, I don't answer any of them. They go straight to voicemail. And then, when I see them, I go ahead and just decline, just so he knows that I'm seeing them.
Wait, what's your end game?
I just like to fuck with him. At this point, he fucks with me so much that I'm just trying to get back at him, and I do it whenever I can. It's a very brother-sister relationship.
I like it.
I noticed this.
Yeah, I did.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we like it. This
like
is
it.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to get into you guys.
Sure.
I mean, not like that, but
no,
you
know
what I mean? really awkward right off the bat.
I know, and I'm sitting with my legs wide open. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
So, Anne, you did our live show.
Yes, I did.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, 2011, 2012, something like
so.
That.
Mm-hmm. And you told a very funny and very awkward audition story.
Yeah, I think that was about farting in a callback.
I think you did,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was on Weight Watchers at the time, eating a lot of fiber.
Oh,
I remember that time.
Yeah, I was one of those Fiber One bars, which are that was a dark time for us as a couple.
But, yeah.
But you were already married to me, so we were in it.
Yeah,
I was testing you. And these Fiber One bars are just fucking awful. They're they're the devil. They should be outlawed. And so I went to this callback, and it was also a callback for hip young model types, which, as we know, I am. I'm not. I'm 5'1". I look kind of like a hobbit.
Hairy feet.
Yeah, very. I have extremely hairy feet. And they I'm slating my name hi, I'm angry, and then I can't even pronounce it then, and I just go. And it was the loudest, longest, wettest fart. And just everyone heard it. And I yeah, I did like a bow, and then I booked it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I booked it.
I feel like all your booking stories go like this.
Yeah, I know.
Every story is like, I showed up, I was racist to the casting director, booked
what?
It.
Hey, wait. I'm not racist.
Okay, that was a bad poll.
But I do.
Diarrhea was running down my leg.
Yeah. Diarrhea. Yeah, booked it.
Series reg.
Yeah, yeah.
Ran into the client in the parking lot, like, just decked their car.
You decked their car, threw up on them, booked it. Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's
an amazing story. How did you guys meet?
Oh.
We met at a sketch comedy show.
Yeah, like, yep. like a really all, bad one.
Like
yeah.
all good aspiring actor comedians mm-hmm. do. Were you yes. in it together?
No, that was no. the thing. Neither oh. of us were
no.
in it.
It was a mutual friend. It was really terrible. He hadn't written it. He was just in it.
Right. Yep. And we both recognized that we didn't know each other, but that we were both like complimenting like his hair and his wardrobe choice.
Oh, that wig was realistic in that one. Scene and oh man, how you walked across the stage was a walk. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was like, is she doing the same thing? Wait, we're both doing the same. Look at you.
Yeah, but then I casually mentioned like I had an improv show the next night, and then who shows up?
I do. Yeah, I do a thing that no one in life ever does, which is like just go to an improv show.
Nobody wants to go to an improv show.
So, but it was obviously just so you could see Anne again.
But I didn't get it. I was like a late bloomer. I've never, if anyone's attracted to me, like even Sean still, I'm like, what the fuck is your problem?
I know. Like, I'm like, read the note I put on your windshield.
Yeah. Like, what's the,
were you like, oh yeah, you again. Cool.
Yeah. I was like, thanks for coming. Oh man, that was not a great show. Okay. Anyways, bye. And my friend Charlotte was like, he's into you. And so, oh.
Yes. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah. So then I got the mutual friend through them. I got his number and I was like, oh, thanks for coming to the show. And he's like, want to meet me at a bar right now? And I was like, no, who do you think I am?
Wait a second. Wait.
Worst thing ever.
Tonally, that is not how I was playing this. I know. Like, as you're like, yeah, thanks, bro. Thanks for coming to my show, dog. Yeah, how about we throw down some like Slurpees? Like,
yeah, you asked me for Slurpees and I'm like, I'm down. Let's go to 7-Eleven. No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I think I was like, hey, do you want to go out sometime?
No, you said that night.
Well, and you said like, yeah, sure. And I'd be like, what are you up to now? Like, whatever. Like, I was all about living in the now at that time. Like,
YOLO, Sean.
I was in LA for like 6 weeks, something like that. Yeah. And it was like, yep, this is us living life. Like, why are we waiting?
Yeah. And then now we're married with two kids.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. How old are your kids?
4 and 1.
It's wow.
Yeah.
You are really in the thick of it. I remember thinking when you guys came to do the Hollywood Darlings, I was like, you know, Brandon and I felt like we were, on the days that we worked together, like we were pulling a fast one on our kids.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, our kid. We only have one. Just
you got dogs.
Myself.
They're kind of, they're
yeah,
for babies.
Yeah, that's it. But I was like, oh my God, we're getting to work together. It's kind of like we're having a date today. And then you guys were like, yeah, we've got the two. And I'm like, how are you doing it? I don't understand.
Childcare.
And like, I felt that suddenly so bad that the call was so early. And I was like, how did you do it this morning? You're both superheroes.
Oh my gosh. We high-fived so hard when we saw that call sheet. And it was like down the block.
Can I say, we shoot in a bowling alley. Okay. Spoiler alert. Bowling.
But just that sense of like, Los Angeles is just this giant interconnected megalopolis, and you were like, show up in your own zip code. We're like, what?
Yeah, all of our like locations were within like 15 minutes of our house. We're like, this never happens. It was great.
Well, you know, Jody, Beverly, and I, we all live in different areas of the San Fernando Valley, and so I feel like some of it in our production office was here, some of it we're like, we just don't really want to go over the hill.
Is
that possible?
Yeah.
You can really find great locations here. And honestly, the filming in the valley is a little bit easier, too.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It was cool to make it work like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to get into some career stuff, because I know you both have some pretty funny worst ever career stories.
Yeah.
You've been, real quick, you've been out here how long, each of you?
Oh, my God. Jesus, doing the math. Like,
what are you, 12? 12 years?
I'm like 13 and you're like 12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although for a while it seemed like you had been here so much longer than I had.
Yeah. You know, like that's arrogance. Like,
really.
Because, like, I could get someplace without, like, you know, MapQuest. Remember printing out MapQuest?
Yes.
Yeah. And I could like, I know how to go. You just take sunset. You know, so, but I'd been here like 8 months more.
Yeah. It just turned out you had just been paying attention.
Yeah.
That was the big difference.
Yeah. And I'm better
us.
At directions, which continues to be the thing. But yeah. So, yeah, I think like 13 and 12. Lucky 13.
Yep.
And you came from where individually?
I was coming down from San Francisco, but originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right.
Not to brag. And you?
Yeah, I started out in Virginia, and then I was in Chicago, and then out here, and so I'll just like die somewhere over the Pacific. Moving west.
Slowly just moving west, yeah, until you get to Hawaii, and that's, I feel like, the motherland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The most beautiful place in the world.
Yeah, it's the youngest place on the planet. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
The earth is
good,
new.
Good facts.
we love geography. It really gets us off.
Yeah. Huge geology as well.
So I know you guys have some worst ever career stories.
Sure.
I mean, who doesn't after having been here this long?
Every day.
There's always there's always something that goes awry.
So I'll do one, another callback. So the majority, my paid gigs have, the majority of them have been a lot of commercials. Been in a ton of them.
Yeah, by the way, listeners, you would know when you look at our Instagram and you look at both Ann and Sean, you're going to be like, oh, I know them. Like, they will feel to you like they are your next door neighbors because you see them all the time on commercials for all kinds of things. I mean, you had one running for a long time, Ann,
like
that I kept seeing you
on. Frosted
Mini Wheats,
Helped by Our House.
Yes.
But I look like everyone. So, like, no one recognizes me. I look like that basic bitch mom down the block.
That's a great career to have, honestly.
Yeah, so, like,
You're like Sia.
Yeah. except way less cool. I do like wearing a weird
I mean, she's British.
Yeah. Anyway. No, she's Australian. We've talked about this. God damn it.
It's upside down British.
So this is a commercial thing. And I was... 4 months pregnant at this point with the first kid.
Okay.
Second kid, you show like right away.
Yeah.
But 4 months, I was like, you know, at that burrito stage, but like not like one burrito, like burritos sticking out all under my, like lumpy burritos everywhere. Just I looked weird. And and I wasn't like buying maternity clothes then yet. So like everything just looked tight and ill-fitting. And I have this callback for, I can't even remember the stupid product, but like my job was to like, I'm working at my desk and like I see an email from a coworker and there's some food in the break room and I'm super excited about it, so I run out of there because that's what you would do. You would run out of there like a normal person. So anyways, super easy, right? Should be super easy. I go into the room and I don't want to say the director's name. I could. I mean, he did nothing wrong in this scenario, but he's a pretty big comedy writer director, and actually knew him because he came on board on this like Paramount film I was in to kind of give notes on the first shoot for reshoots. So he kind of helped rewrite what we were doing. So I knew him. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm pregnant. Nobody knows I'm pregnant. So I'm like already in my head, right?
Right. Because you're trying to keep this thing under wraps.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, as a woman, as an actress, if you get pregnant and then everybody knows that you're pregnant, they'll just stop sending you out for stuff.
Because
they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, there might be a lot of work for pregnant people.
No.
There's
no work. Because you have to have a medic on set.
Yes.
And so it increases your budget.
So they would rather hire a non-pregnant person to put on a belly and be a pregnant person. Unless you're a model and they want real pregnant women, which is a very small sect. And let's be clear, you and I are both like 5'1". No one's hiring us pregnant to model anything.
Nothing.
To do that Dove
Petite
commercial.
Sophisticated even.
No. Not, yeah.
So yeah,
continue.
Exactly. So like, yeah, they don't want to know. And so I do the first take and like, I'm supposed to react to this email and I just like, I'm so like nervous because I'm pregnant and this is like this big director and I'm like so I forget to react and I just run out of there and then
wait, that was the whole thing, like you just took off?
Yeah, I just like typed and then just ran like a weird robot person. But like, he thinks I'm not an idiot. I am an idiot, but he thinks I'm not because he's seen my work in this movie and thinks that I'm like a normal human being who can respond to very simple directions. No dialogue, like I just have to react to this email. Okay,
yeah.
So he gives me, he's like, well, yeah, that was good. Like, he's lying. That was good, Anne. Could you try it again and react to the email? So I'm like, okay, got it, got it. Oh, man, I got this. So I do it again. I react to the email. Oh, my God. Free edibles. not edibles. It's not the, like, not weed. Free, like, processed food shit.
But I mean, you're constantly high.
Yeah, I'm constantly high. I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I'm supposed to run out. Should be easy. I'm wearing high heels.
Oh no.
Okay. Christine knows this because she's seen me at a wedding. I don't even wear heels like when I'm not pregnant. Like I wore like sneakers to like Hannah's wedding.
Right.
Like I don't know how to walk in high heels. I'm pregnant. My center of gravity is wrong. So you can see where this is going. I trip.
Oh, no.
Okay. Remember that I'm wearing an ill-fitting
The baby is fine. Like, just if you're jumping ahead on this story, like,
and
she's born.
And I have a miscarriage. It's hilarious. Yeah. No, Jesus Christ. I trip, and the pencil skirt comes up and, like, reveals just, like, not attractive pregnant person underwear. Okay. This is what should be the embarrassing part of it. Oh, no. I trip into the computer.
Oh,
at a commercial audition, like on like theatrical auditions, there's a big computer. They're logging takes as they do it, sending it to the client, sending it to the advertising company. I break the fucking computer.
Oh my God!
It has a day's work of callbacks on it. Okay, so they're already running late in this audition. It's a SAG audition.
What was this crash like? Was this like...
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. I was just like...
What did you trip over? Your feet.
My own feet. And like, rather than going here, I just go... like go like 3 feet into the computer. It like takes work. It takes the work of an incredible idiot to do this thing. The computer goes wrong. Anyways, so they're like, okay... Well, go wait outside because we're going to have to redo that audition and try to get everyone back to do their auditions because we don't know if any of these have saved.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they're like checking. They're checking to see if like this was in 2012 when I'm. So they're doing cloud stuff then, but it's not as much as they do now. Like they're not backing up as frequently. So I'm waiting outside. They have to like pay like all of these actors more because if you're over an hour with a callback, you have to like pay for the auditions. Oh. So they're paying all the actors auditions.
To a certain extent, then like you're welcome.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fellow actors, you're welcome.
Thank you, Robin Hood.
And I go in and I audition again and I do it or whatever. And then people are like, so you booked it, right? Like my farting story. And no, I didn't book it. Like, I was a huge liability. Like, the whole job was to react to an email and run. I wasn't able to run. So I did not book it. Worst part
I'm actually surprised that they let you back in.
I know.
I'm surprised they weren't just like, no, thank you, Anne. Thank you. You can go.
Right. Yeah.
So I see this director at the cast party, the premiere party for this movie when it finally comes out. Now we have Moira's like... a baby now.
Sure. Yeah, she came out just fine.
Yeah, and I talked to this director and I'm like, oh man, embarrassing story. And the worst part is he doesn't remember that it was me. And I'm like, I am that forgettable. It's like, that's the worst part.
Or that you reminded him
that
crazy, you know, rhinoceros of a person who crashed into the computer you. Yeah. And he's like, Oh, right.
Oh, now I remember. Now I remember, Anne.
Yeah. Good seeing you, Anne.
Yeah. So that was the beginning. That was a pregnancy one.
I mean, it's so weird. The pregnancy really, not only for your brain, but your whole body feels so awkward the first time. I remember getting super clumsy.
Yes.
But I also get really clumsy when I'm about to have my period. I don't know if anyone
Are you
else.
Like you'll like reach for stuff and just knock it over?
Yeah, I just like just clumsy. Like
it's the hormones, man.
Yeah, like I'll run my knee into the open car door.
Yep.
You know, just trying to do things fast and like
why would nature do that?
I don't know.
There's no help.
Yeah, like wouldn't like a wild animal
loss?
Eat us?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like I don't why.
I don't know. But I've also made the mistake before of going out like right before my cycle starts and like having a couple cocktails. And whatever it is, if I have like two cocktails, it's like having four or five.
Oh.
I can get super drunk super quickly. We had a night with friends came over here and we had a few cocktails here and we were making dinner. And suddenly, like out of nowhere, I was like, I walked out of the room to get something and I was like, oh, I have to lie down. And I just went into the guest room and I laid down on the trundle bed, like as if we didn't have guests over.
Yeah, you're like, I'm done. I'm out.
I was just done. I was like, that's it. Bye. Yeah. And then my husband came and goes, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I had to lie down. I'm lying down.
I'll see you tomorrow.
He was like, okay. And then about 20 minutes later, I heard them depart. And I just felt like such an asshole. But I was like, that's it.
Without Christine, we don't want to be around. We came here for Christine, not you,
so
Brandon.
So bad.
I like the idea of like your exit or something. Like somebody was like, you know, like we could go up to Big Bear sometime. And then you just left the room and never came back.
I didn't say anything. It was like I had just gone to the bathroom or gone to go get like, you know, a mint or something. And I just never returned.
There's that level of like, oh no, I'm drunk.
That's bad. It was awful.
Oh yeah. You did that at my parents' house one time.
Oh yeah. Well, we went skiing.
Yeah.
And well, you went skiing and I went snowboarding like twice down the mountain. And I'm like, that was difficult. I'm done. Hot chocolate time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had chili or something. We didn't eat all day. And then there's like all of these like bespoke like breweries down the mountain that have popped up in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. And they're all like, here's a beer. Oh, we should mention before you're done with it that it's like 14%.
Oh,
so I had two beers and I was like writhing on the floor, wasted, like naked, wasted, like crazy wasted.
Yeah, you just went into the bedroom and you're like, I'm not coming out.
Good night.
Yeah. I was just puking. Yeah, it was gross.
Oh, God.
Anyways, I just did a little bit of a break with alcohol.
Oh, did you do like a dry January?
No, not the whole thing. Like, that would have been good.
No, that's what people with normal willpower can do. Here's what we did.
I did a dry like Thursday to Monday.
Basically.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's all right.
We don't drink that much, but we drink frequently, like a glass of wine with dinner, you know?
Right.
And so I quit and like I was like craving like Snickers and M&Ms. It was really weird.
Well, because of the sugar.
Yep. And I didn't even put it together. Yeah.
I remember when the first time I was pregnant, because I wasn't drinking, I suddenly had all these people like, oh, pregnancy makes you have weird cravings. I'm like, no, I realize now it's because I wasn't drinking and I was craving Skittles.
Oh,
of all the things. Oh. Like, haven't eaten Skittles since maybe 9th or 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I was eating them by like the fistful.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get enough.
They were
like
the rainbow.
I know. The insides of my cheeks were like raw because
Oh, you made it to that level. That's admirable. Like some summer middle school level of eating Skittles.
It's so beyond.
It's like the kid who was not allowed sugar and then they find sugar. You know, like it's like Halloween day.
Yeah.
And
just
like your Rumspringa.
Sean, you have any awful stories, you career stories?
Oh yes.
You'd like to regale us with?
I know. I'll narrow it to one. Let's see, this past year I was doing like this job that I think I can explain it. Most of the times I explained it and people were like, I still don't get it, and then I went like, I still don't get it either, but I think this works. So like when a movie comes out, basically they have all the things that they do to promote the movie, but then they also do like funny film, like little shoots, like Funny or Die videos, like where you're like, oh, there's The Rock in something. And he's like, you know, Michael Shannon's dramatically reading a sorority girl's like anger letter and stuff. And you're like, oh, that's really funny. And then I, on a very subtle, small level, get that this is tied to some movie that they have coming out.
Got it.
So I was doing that for the Viacom people, and they own like all the like MTVs and Comedy Centrals and like all those sort of networks. And they were like, hey, let's just make a little group that makes these things. So boy, this is a long lead in, guys.
No, that
stick
makes
with
sense.
Me.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's fucking worth it.
You're making digital content for Viacom to promote some of their shows and movies.
It would air, like instead of commercials, they get to pull it from a different pool of money. Whatever. I don't know how it works. But if it had Kevin Hart or The Rock in it, I worked on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so we were doing this one. There was this movie that came out for Fist Fight.
Yeah.
And it was like, who's in it? Ice Cube and Charlie Day and stuff. And they're funny. And it's a funny people movie. So they were like, oh, Sean, you should work on this. And I worked on a piece of it, but they were going to shoot four things all at once. And
you have all of these people for like 50 seconds, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, right. Yeah. Okay. 'Cause they're doing all of these like you know, promo stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Talent window. Yeah. It's like literally like 30 minutes. It's like the either the junket day or a long lead day where you get them for 30 minutes and then they're like, now talk to Cat Fancy. You right, know, it's right. like everybody's like all lined up.
Cat Fancy gets
Horse and Hound.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
I'm from and, Horse and Hound.
And their digital content is dope.
It's yeah. so fucking funny.
It's so better.
Oh my God.
It's, I wish I were Cat Fancy. So we were doing a thing, and it doesn't really matter, like, the premise of this. I wrote one out of the four, but for whatever reason, the director, who is a delightful woman, she was like, let's bring Sean on board. And I was like, great, like, let's do this. And it was the first time I had done a shoot with them. We went to a soundstage on Warner Brothers, one of those giant airplane hangar-sized soundstages that, like, was built in the 20s yeah. or whatever. Like, the timbers feel like something that, you know, Jason and the Argonauts should have, like, been right. in. Like, it's yeah. nuts. This thing is cavernous. And I walk in, like, we're shooting, like, three, you know, whatever, it's four 30-second pieces. And this thing looks like a rave.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. Like, and the day before, they were still like settling the concept and settling the scripts. And right. they're like, oh, I don't know what should be in it. And I'm like, maybe it's in a locker room. Who knows? And then, and this is like hours beforehand. The next day I show up, they've built a whole locker room like inside of this. But the place is so cavernous that the locker room takes up like, it's like a football field. It like the locker room sitting on like the 40-yard line. And then like over in one end zone, there's like talent holding and a big screen and a DJ.
What?
There was a DJ up on level two who like between takes was like, let's keep the vibe chill.
Oh my God. Corporate like, waste is like bonkers. That's like the crazy. Budgets of these things. Yeah.
It was nuts. And so this crew was like, it had to be 50 plus. And there was physical distance between like where a video village is and where the set is and where the DJ lives and stuff, like to the standpoint that where I get posted up is like far away. It's like down the block,
right?
You know, essentially. Right. And they're like, well, you know, we won't need you for anything, but you know, here's where you live, and like, don't fuck anything up. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I just expecting, like, I'll see everybody at lunch, you know? Right. And then I'll just kind of like sit on my stuff. And so they go for it. And it's a roast battle that they're doing. And I haven't written this piece. And I think for most people, like, that don't do comedy, they kind of looked at the comedy landscape and went, everybody does roast battles now. Everybody in comedy just has like a bazillion roast battle roasts just like sitting in their pockets, like, you know, cryptocurrency or whatever. Like, and I was like, oh, this is going to blow back on me. I realized like right at the last second before they got into it. And I look at the monitor and I'm like, Ice Cube doesn't look happy, but he's Ice Cube. That's the way Ice Cube looks. How cool is that?
Right.
And then I was like, Charlie Day doesn't look happy, but you know, like whatever. He's Charlie Day. Like he's supposed to be, you know, kind of like kind of be like, oh, I'm Charlie Day. You know, yeah, like right. doing like his thing.
Good Charlie Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he walked in. And then I hear over a megaphone, because this is once again back in 1933. Like there's a dude in like Jodhpurs, you know, and oh. like a megaphone is like, quiet on the set. And it's like, Sean, get over here. And I was like, huh? And I pull an Aunt Gregory and I trip on some cords as I'm running over there
oh,
and stuff.
Geez.
But it's like super, and like, this is so lame of me and I totally cop to this. But I was like, I'm the writer on the set today, so I'm gonna wear my glasses. And so like, I need
so
glasses.
I can look smart.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So like, if you're looking at like, you know, right. me plus the crew, you'd be like, I guess he's the writer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like go like running over there and like, and I'm like, my glasses, as I trip over and stuff. And I go like screeching over and they're like, the director's like, Sean, get over here. She's like, hey, like none of the like the roasts are working, like the insults that they're giving each other. Like they're just, she's not good. And then this is low. And I'm like, oh, cool, cool. All right. You know, sure. Like I'm here for emotional support, not realizing like what's about to happen to me.
Cause you didn't write this one.
I didn't write this one.
Right.
No.
You're just there to kind of help
I wrote
out.
One. I wrote one with an MMA guy who okay. like punches like a dummy and stuff. And I'm like physical comedy. This is right. my bailiwick. And so like now loud enough for like the room. She was like, Sean, look at Charlie. How would you insult him?
Oh no.
And like you could have heard like there's a DJ and literally the DJ was like And I was like, this is insane. Like, this 80s high school party moment, like, now just centers on me. And, like, everybody turns. All the air just instantly whooshes out of the room. Charlie Day is like, I'm sure he's like a lovely person. I saw him like out socially one time and he was like, hey, I'm a normal guy. And I was like, cool, you're a normal guy. Like, inside of this context, he was like, hi, I'm a human who doesn't want to be here. And I'm like, I get it, but yeah, maybe I can help. And so I did, like, I listened to a stupid writing podcast. It's a good writing podcast, but I listened to it, and on their advice, they're like, if you ever get stuck on set, be sure to take the time that you need. And stuff. And I was like, I'm going to take my time.
You're like, I'm going to go back to the 20-yard line.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go take a moment, take a knee, and yeah, I'll be back.
Yes. Yeah. Because if you just look at a human, no. I mean, especially a human that, like, you're like, oh, I like their work, and I think they're really cool.
Just yeah, insult the shit out of them.
Yeah. And
come
somebody,
on. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody's like, you know, like, rip them.
Good for you that you didn't just, like, say something random.
Right. Well, thank you. And so, so I look at her and I went, hey, just give me 1 second, you know, like 1 sec. And, you know, maybe this isn't the way it's normally done either, because I think maybe she saw me go, run, and was like, maybe not the response I was hoping to get from my writer in that moment. But I like stopped and I said that. And the director of the movie, whose it is, you know, the guy
Richie
who directed.
Keen.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Richie.
Yeah, he's yeah, super cool.
He's great.
And he, like, kind of like bought me some room for a second.
Yeah.
For which, like,
he's a former actor, so I think he probably had in that moment was like, oh no, 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 no. Like,
yeah, like, yeah,
no
one's,
my actors aren't happy. I would feel totally awkward in this moment. You know,
he has, yeah,
he is a little like, you know, he's pretty attuned, I feel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I felt like he had like the room, you know, like understanding. He was, yeah, you know, he's over in the boxes, the right, box seats, you know,
yeah,
like inside of the stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff, and he goes, oh man, I wouldn't want to have to do this right now. Which I think is also like a really good acknowledgement of like how bad the situation, you
yeah,
know,
there's
how
no right answer, rough, man. No.
Yeah, totally. And just like, if we can all kind of call this out, maybe I can let some tension air out of the balloon.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I was like, thank you. And I like, you know, like ran over to like the, what was going to be a quiet space. You know, it's all black leather couches and, you know, some kind of like loungy music for a second. And I was like, here's where I birth comedy and stuff. And I'm just like looking, you know, 40 yards away at Charlie Day, just trying to destroy him with my mind of like how, like, what would I just say to like rip this guy? Like, what would I be after on him? And I'm like, I guess I make fun of his beard. I don't know. He's wearing a shirt that kind of looks like a sailor shirt from, you know, like the 19th century.
Yeah. Okay.
And, so, and I'm like, what
that
am I
seems
after?
Seems like the fair game.
That's... Yeah. Like, what am I? Yeah. Like, I'm going to attack your home life. Like, what? You know,
yeah,
like
know,
nothing that, you know, or like, I'm going to use any specifics. Like, can't do that, you yeah, know, because whatever, you just can't. So I come up with like two or three and I run back. And as I'm like doing my I got it, like sort of thing back, I hear like rolling and stuff, and they just go for it. And basically like the 3 minutes that I had taken were like 2.5 minutes too long. And it was like, we gotta go. And I was like, but I got a rip. Like, I got some destroyed. And they went for a couple or whatever. None of it makes the final cut, of course. Like, none of it affects like the whole thing. But I was like, and at that moment, like basically like the guy in the beginning of the third Indiana Jones movie, like touches me on the back of the shoulder and is like, you lost today, kid, but you didn't have to like it. You know, like really, like, I think it was like one of the producers of the production company who was like, you know, like sort of like patting me on the shoulder. And I was like, it all happened so fast, you know?
So they just started improvising with each other. They were kind of like, oh, screw it, we'll just say whatever we want.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody like looked around and they were like, I don't know. And like, you know, maybe whatever the director or anybody just realized, like, you know what? Like, roast
you guys are
and
funny.
Rips.
Just go for it and see what happens type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That is an awkward job.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had an army of post-it notes for alt jokes for the script that I wrote.
Right.
And never again did I, you know, like if it was on a page and it was part of that day, like
right,
somebody else wrote it, I didn't care. Like,
yeah,
I've got alts on your stuff too. So
that's great. That whole experience sounds like they had a bigger budget for that, you know, 30 minutes that you were there than we had for the entire second season of Hollywood Darlings. So that's exciting. the corporate waste thing, isn't it crazy though?
Yeah,
I mean, you think nuts. About how when you're doing something artistic or for the first time, you know, mm-hmm. your friend's independent film or, you know, they're always like, you get on a commercial and it's like, oh yeah, it's all nickel and diming, man. I mean, you got to bring your own clothes. If we could just see like yeah. all your own, could you just bring your whole wardrobe?
Yeah.
Because we don't really right. have a budget for that.
We're and McDonald's. Like, we don't have a budget. And we're like, huh? Yeah, yeah, do.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, it always just like shocks me. I have a friend who works for a high-end luxury brand.
Ooh.
And
Hardee's?
Yes. How did you know? Close.
Carl's de Junior.
Is
I'm wearing their perfume right now. Oh,
you are high-end luxury.
I'm a little bit
something has got to cover
and
up
I had
parties
before us. Go on
but she works for them and she does a lot of special events and plans them, and she's just an incredible, very artistic person that plans these beautiful events. But she invited me to one last year, and I have never in my life been to a party like this ever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've seen a lot of cool stuff, but this was for like something innocuous. I couldn't even tell you what. I think it was for the menswear collection.
Okay.
Oh, is this like something where like people are jumping in and out of water and like
it was downtown. Uh-huh. It was sort of like in a nondescript warehouse, mm-hmm. random sketchy area. Mm-hmm. They had blocked off a mile radius what? Around the place where the party was. Whoa. In every direction.
What?
Yeah. There were two huge warehouses.
Wait, don't like people like live? No. Oh, it's warehouse.
Yeah. But it was, we took an Uber there, my friend and I. We couldn't even get, like, we couldn't figure out how to get to the party because it was blocked off in like every direction.
No, you won't.
Wow.
We finally get there, you know, you check in, whatever. In between the warehouses, they've created sort of this faux graffiti.
Oh, edgy as
they
shit.
Had, yeah. Graffiti everywhere.
Derelict.
Benches. Yeah. Like champagne. The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
People then sit on this sort of like, you know, skid row. That's where they have like a fashion show.
Oh, they have chic homeless people.
Yeah, chic homeless people. Just so actors offensive. Laying yeah. down. Right. Then you walk
it's Kate
in.
Moss. Yeah.
Then you walk into the warehouse and I can only explain it like this. It was like the warehouse had been divided into five worlds. Uh-huh. So there's one world that was like showcasing leather goods, and they were like mm. actually showing you the machines that were like stitching the leather goods, and they had like some kind of photo sort of opportunity there where you could pose with some of the
but
leather
this is
goods.
All
and
for show, right? Like it's not their factory or
no,
anything. Like
no,
this
they've
is,
made
yeah.
all of this inside an empty warehouse. Oh my God. There was another area yeah. that was this round like structure. They mm-hmm. built a round like circular structure yeah. and you walked in and it was a big record. A huge record, and in the middle
what?
Was a bar, and on either side they had listening stations and a DJ. That was the whole thing in and of itself.
Wow.
There was a whole other room that they built that had games.
Sound is wow. an untapped
just
sense
like,
yeah. of fashion.
It was. It made
fashion
no
biodome.
Sense, but yeah. it was incredible. I mean, there was you could do like the game with the basketballs, and then they also had ping pong, and then they had like arcade games on one side. Then you went outside.
Yeah.
There was a band performing, like Airstream trailers where the bars were.
Whoa.
They brought in all these succulents. Like I remember talking to her afterward being like, I have never in my life seen a party like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that was there? And then she showed me a picture, literally none of it. And I said, what do you do with all that stuff after? Like the benches and the succulents. She's like, oh, it's awful. It goes into a dumpster.
Get out. No
She's
way.
She's like, I hate it. I try as much as I can to like repurpose things or sell things or
yeah.
find a way to. But she's like, it's. I mean, they spent like
oh my
something
God.
Like $4 million.
It's quite
on a party.
And
for
who? I'm imagining crazy. She's saying like it all goes to dumpster, like as she's like pointing at like ligers
it's
and
so,
like
just, yeah, yeah.
Like he's like, yep, they all go.
I mean, yeah. I felt like an imposter there.
I was gonna say you can bet there's a lot of PAs that are like waiting till the producers turn their back and they're grabbing
yeah, yeah.
stuff and taking it with them
oh,
home. I definitely
be.
Did that when I was PAing.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Oh, totally. Anybody want this extra water? Yeah, I'll take it. Extra, like I even took like the black aluminum stuff they like wrap around like lights use it for like when I was still
making blackout stuff.
Just for my own student films or whatever back when I was doing
that. Stuff's expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you're like, pricey.
Everyone's going to throw this away, so you might as well.
Expensive.
No kidding. God, that's absolutely nutso.
That's crazy.
I know. I've never in my life have I seen anything like that.
She's like, we do this every month.
Every month.
She doesn't like, she has to plan these things like twice a year. And
that's why Birkins cost that much.
I guess so. They must be. Yeah. That, all the Birkin money is going into the faux homeless people who are
realistic, acting
job on the bottom.
I mean, if you were an actual homeless person in that area,
it'd be so offensive.
Like just the thought of like that there's a frequency to these sort of things. Like you're already like maybe you're having a slightly tenuous grasp on reality, and then like something like this like pops up, just like Tiernanogue, like there one night and like gone in the mist tomorrow, and it happens like I don't know once every 3 months to you. Like you'd be like, this is like I have a box full of succulents now. Like,
right.
But I...
it's so weird. So
he's fucking with you almost, it feels like.
Yeah.
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 I'd be like, I'm not getting a house. Let's see how the next party turns out.
Yeah.
Just makes me realize the DJ economy is strong. You know? In both of these stories...
I know. Those guys make like so much money. And women. Those... By guys, I mean women.
Oh, yeah. What's her face? Yeah.
Paris Hilton's now a DJ.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you've worked with Paris.
I have.
DJ your party.
That's sort of like, exactly. That's like what I think the new kind of celebrity appearance sort of is. It's like you have a job, but it's a job that I'm sure is, you can just press some buttons and kind of make the playlist float. You're sort of the master of ceremonies, you know, type thing.
You're the host.
Form,
All right.
You know.
You're like the king of parties.
I don't know how much, like, she's really, like, scratching and, like, mixing. Maybe a little, but probably it's, probably not. I think it's more like, here's the foam, Ibiza, and everybody put your glow sticks up. You know, I think it's more like, come party with me.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to do that at the wrong time.
No. Glow sticks have to come up at the right time.
That would just be exhausting. You basically, for like 3 months straight, have to just be nocturnal and go to these parties and be like, I want a party.
Until like 6 in the morning, right?
Forget it.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, those they DJ for like a second, right? Like they DJ for like an hour and then other people come in, right?
That might be true. Yeah. That's probably true. Yeah, I don't know. I know nothing about this. Why are you asking me? Like, I don't go out?
Well, I mean, you're a party animal.
I was such a party
animal. You run a couple of underground spaces. Yeah. Like, let's just, you know.
You put Georgia in the Bjorn and you go out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't wait. What is, you guys have two kids.
Yes.
So
yes.
What has, parenthood really changes so much about how you used to view yourself.
Yeah. You change. We moved to the burbs. We used to live in like Los Feliz. Now we live in Glendale.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm much more accepting of myself, like just not being all that good.
Yep.
At stuff.
Yeah.
like you're just doing so much with them all the time that like you at 70%, like you're like, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like whereas I was like, man, I could have really nailed that. And I'm like, we got the old job done.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't have nailed that. Yeah. And let me see. Like, it's good.
I mean,
good.
Your part grows 3 sizes larger.
Like, yeah.
You know, there's some really awesome stuff. I mean, granted, like having kids is an awesomely selfish thing, but it's also brilliant and beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I remember like when we were pregnant with this, our son, Jack, I was like, could I love another kid as much as I love Moira?
I do. I remember that being like a real thing. Yeah, I was like really. Have conversations
about
it.
Yeah, I'm afraid that I'm not going to love him as much. And then you, like, a different
section. Totally
different. It's like, cheesy, but that's true.
No, it's true, though. I mean, Brandon said something like that. He was like, God, if we have another kid, like, I just love her. I love Georgia so much. I feel bad. I feel like I'm not going to be able to give another kid the same amount of love. How could I love anything more? And I said, I think it doesn't work like that. Like, it's not a linear,
tract
of how much love you have to give that's finite.
It's not finite. Yes. Like, you're more and you're like, oh, yeah.
But I do hope he, like, showed you a pie chart. And he was
I've got 3%.
Like, yeah, you're going to take a 6% cut. I'm sorry.
Right. But honestly, your second kid could be a dick.
That's true.
And, like, and our kid, like,
oh, right. Yeah.
He ended up, like, we were, like, on the fence about him for a long time. And
oh,
his
really?
Little personalities emerged. And I'm like, oh, we're keeping him.
He's, okay.
He's really into dinosaurs and dogs. And I'm like, that's an interesting path.
What were you on the fence about?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you said it like a normal person would say. I was like, what were we on the fence?
No. Like, but like, on it, well, like, being the truthful part of that is, like, you kind of don't know. You love them, but like, as you get to know them and their little strange little personalities, you're like, oh, that's really funny. I like you.
Yeah, it takes a little while for them to reveal themselves. There's like only, you know, so far you get along of like, that's my nose before you're like, eh, it's my nose.
Yeah. Yeah, there's things that are amazing about parenthood, and there's also like the same things that I love are also the same things that sometimes drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, I come home and it's mama, 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 and I love it. Yeah. And then I'm just trying to go to the bathroom and it's mama, mama, mama. And I'm like, mommy needs 30 seconds of private time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, I'm right here. Why are you crying?
I know.
Right in front of your face.
I know.
So, yeah, we're, you know, the whining is really, can get a little tedious.
It never ends.
Yeah.
Well, so far it hasn't ended.
And that sense of like, sometimes things are going to be kind of broken for a second. Like, you know,
right.
You spend a while trying to make your adult life as stress-free and helpful as possible and like functional as possible.
Yeah.
But like this idea of like, oh, like I'm literally going to have to poo with a 3-year-old on my knee. And I'm not going to be happy about what I'm up to. And she's not going to be happy with
Although she probably is. She like is very into poo right now or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, mommy, what kind of poo did you make? I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
I know. They're
really into it.
She talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
She just says it all the time. And then I'm like, are you poo-pooing right now? And that, you know, it's just, there's a lot of talk about it. She likes to look at the dog. She likes to point to their poo-poo.
Yeah.
It's a lot. The other thing she also does, I don't know, this like makes me feel a little awkward. Like, we drink a lot of sparkling water.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we have like the cans of sparkling water.
LaCroix, and, LaCroix. Yeah.
And sometimes the off-brand.
Yeah.
But
oh, wow.
Every time,
I'm judging you. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, every time she sees us like having, she goes, beer? Beer? I'm like, no, not everything is beer. Water.
It's just mostly beer.
But her first reaction is beer.
That's so cute.
God.
Well, she's half Wisconsin.
I know.
There you go.
I'm like blaming it on my husband.
And the other thing is that's different is like friendships, right? Like, so like,
yeah.
Like, we still have like single friends, but you just don't see them as much because they're doing their thing and you're doing it.
You're in a different world.
You're in a different world. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that's tough sometimes.
You know, we've recently like made some friends where we live and we're like, yeah, don't fuck this up.
Like,
we got invited to their like Super Bowl party. And we're like, don't be weird about it, man. Just
and we've
be cool.
kind of been like,
just be cool,
yeah,
be cool, just be cool, man.
But like also in like a relationship like that, you're like, I hope goes the distance. You're kind of like, I got to take this slow for a second. Like, you're,
yeah,
because I'm like, if this goes wrong, like, I'll feel kind of bad,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, there have been like a couple of times where, like, I almost have like a couple of like people who have kids the same age as ours,
yeah,
and like they're, and I'm like, if we slow play this, this could totally be cool,
this could go the distance,
yeah. But if we're like, hey, let's go camping and we have a crap weekend, like,
so that,
yeah,
then it's
we're done,
burn,
yeah, no,
yeah, we're deciding whether to ask. Friends, they're, oh my gosh, I hope they're not going to listen. It's okay. They're coming back into town.
Everyone should listen to this.
They've been in Colorado, and they're like a cool couple, and they've got kids our age. You know, that's important, too. And they're like outdoor enthusiasts, and I'm like enthusiastic about the idea of the outdoors,
right.
But not very good at it.
Right.
And I like showers. So anyways, like Sean,
we have bathrooms. You're a big bathroom person.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because I have to pee in the middle of the night, and like I'm afraid that if I pee in the woods, that's when the rapist comes out.
Okay.
And like they, you know, yeah. Because my pants are down. It's easy.
I see it.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So like,
I get you.
It's
I
a very rational
logic.
Fear. So
watch a lot of Dateline ID.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big Friday night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we want to ask them to go camping because we have all this equipment and, but we're on the fence. We don't want to push it. They're just coming back into town.
And they're also like, and not to stay on this for too long, but like, they're also really good at it.
They're good.
Like, they're like super pros and stuff. And I don't know.
It's like my brother and sister-in-law, but they live in Montana. So I feel like if you live in Montana,
you
kind of have to be good at that stuff.
Yeah, that's
you get kicked out of the state.
Do they have a good Instagram, like outdoor photos and everything?
They're so good. They're They don't even have an
they
Instagram.
They don't even have an Instagram. They that's how cool they are.
Oh, shit. That's, yeah. Like, that's authentic.
Dude, they're both authentic. Geologists.
Yeah.
Like they're like
professors.
They're like married geologists. Like they're already like 2/3 of the way through a Disney movie with their lives.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. Their daughter taught our daughter how to like walk and like do physical things. We weren't capable of that. Like through
I mean,
them.
Walk is a bit of an example. But
she
yeah,
was
like
not
climb
walking.
Stuff.
She was bedridden and sickly.
With her
she's Pollyanna
legs.
They just yeah. taken her from the
they just wouldn't feed her any
scurvy.
Citrus
I don't know yeah. no vitamin C
it is hard though you know and that's kind of what the episode that you guys are on that the viewers or the listeners will be able to see because you guys are so funny this season on the show but we you know it's hard to find another couple friend. Like when you become a couple, you have your cool, like hang out single couple friends. And then you have kids. And like you said, you see those people, but then you start to look for other parents that you've got stuff in common with. The kids can play well together and then you can get along well together. But it's like yeah. a whole new double dating situation all over again.
It's so many boxes to check off.
Yes.
I feel like it's so many more than like, are you a fun person to be around.
Right. It's like, also, do our kids get along?
Yeah.
Also, like, so Sean and I have been on, like, things where, like, I was like, oh, that went great. And he's like, oh, no, that guy was, like, really arrogant. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he was. You know, like, we can't hang out with him again.
I know. It's like, we should just try to be friends with single parents just for, like, the minimizing all
yeah.
the people of it. No.
No.
I mean, people should have all this different types of friends. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, ugh.
But yeah. And the like, variables. there's even, you know, moms you'll meet at play groups or whatever. And you're like, oh, they are so cool. Oh, their kid is, wow. Wow. It's just like their kid's either going
yeah.
through something, going through a certain stage, or sometimes the age difference is just enough different that they're just not into the same things.
Yeah.
They don't play well together.
Yeah.
Or one of them is super physical and the other one just kind of wants to play on the ground with some blocks. And like, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, that sucks too.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, you know, you feel bad. You don't want to say like, yeah, I don't know if our kids are really meshing or, you know, like that sucks. A friend of mine, I think it gets worse. She was like, oh, just wait till the play dates start. And then you've got a mom being like, hey, you know, Serafina really wants to get together with Georgia. And you're kind of like, oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see if I can work this out. And Georgia's like, I don't like that girl. I don't want to play with her. Just play with her once.
Yeah.
It puts stuff in context growing up for me. Like, I was like, I don't want to play with that kid. And then I'm like, oh, right. My mom needed friends too.
Yeah. And there's also like a thing that has happened. We moved to this area that's like a little less fussy than Los Feliz.
Mm-hmm.
So like kids are allowed to have like cupcakes on their birthday. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Okay.
Normal children. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm
no,
not judging that. Like, you do what you do. But like there's a lot of like working moms. It helps to like have working moms who kind of suck at it like I do. Like I'm like I need you to be kind of a sucky mom for
like
me.
Like you can go to Vons
you.
And just buy some cupcakes.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like a special.
Oh dude, we've got a story about that. Ralph's cupcakes.
Was that her second birthday?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, third birthday.
His third birthday. We were like, I'm not even going to pretend we were like busy. We just said we're buying Ralph's cupcakes.
It's fine. Do you know the majority of Americans probably just go to the supermarket and buy
we're not
cupcakes?
Like, we're not getting sprinkles. Those are $4 a cupcake.
Yeah, that's
Jesus
very
Christ.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yes. So we dropped them off, you know, with her.
She got to choose them. She chose bright blue.
Yes, an electric blue. Like
okay.
I'm trying to think of a like
Smurf.
A yeah,
Smurf.
But like a Smurf who like was really into like a daily regimen.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Like this artificial Smurf, not the natural.
Yeah,
Smurf.
Like a beauty blogging Smurf,
cancer God. Smurf.
Like really,
yeah.
is what the vibrancy of blue we're going for. Mm. And everybody ate the cupcakes. They went in for the cupcakes, and then
Moira came home.
Came home, and that evening, Moira. Oh, man, this is real like poop focused.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's parenthood.
She, you know, like made it to her business. It was like she had eaten that beauty blogging Smurf and it had
pooped
like,
it out.
Just
right.
The
neon.
Exact same vibrancy.
Right.
Blue number 12.
Blue, yeah.
Yes.
No, poop. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And it lasted like 24 hours.
Oh my God.
It lasted, longer than like.
And we're like, oh, okay, this was weird. As we start to make more friends with like daycare parents, this happened to all of the kids in daycare. They all
like
had
one by one. We're like, hey, you know,
that explains
you know my
it.
Kids, my kids pooped blue that one time. You know, that was, we got scared. We didn't know how long it was going to last. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's like 18
thanks
hours.
Thanks for poisoning our child.
Poisoning our child. Smurf cupcakes.
Yep.
So we were probably shelved as potential couple's friends by all of them.
All of that. Yeah. For giving their kids ADHD.
Right.
Isn't that what, like, dyes give them ADHD? I don't know. There's something linked there.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm of the mind. I do the best I can. You know? That's like my parent motto. I'm just doing the best I can.
Yes.
And some days I feel like I do a lot better than other days. But I will say this. I recently just made for my family some applesauce muffins. So excited.
Ooh.
I was like, I'm going to take my Sunday while she's napping. This is my time. But no, I'm going to make applesauce muffins for the family. Mm. They are healthy-ish. They have butternut squash in them, a hidden vegetable.
Yeah.
You know, I make these things. I pop them in the oven. They smell amazing. There's about 9 of them left, guys. Made them last week. Nobody likes the applesauce muffin. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I even put them in the toaster the other day, and I put some butter on it, and I was like, I don't even really like, I don't like the applesauce muffins.
Yeah.
So, you know, man, sometimes I try, and it's just,
we've been making a lot more food lately, and Moira still just wants rice.
Pasta or bread.
She just wants carbohydrates. Yeah, all starches.
Georgia's carbo loading for sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're running that marathon, that baby marathon. We're good parents.
It's got a good cause.
Yeah. It's a good cause.
Do you guys have any like horror parent stories other than blue poop?
Oh Jesus, all the time.
Yeah. Well, our daughter.
Our first day of like our first week of preschool. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was like day number two.
Day number two at preschool. I get a call. I'm waiting for a commercial callback. This is my life.
Yeah.
And I'm in Santa Monica.
Oh, gosh.
And we live in like Glendale. And not to name drop Glendale again, but I will. And
very far, people.
Anyways, it's the... like the headmaster, whatnot. That's whatever.
Miss Shelley.
It's not like the headmaster. She goes to Hogwarts.
Yeah. An owl came to Anne.
And she says, please don't freak out, but your daughter fell off of the equipment and she's unresponsive.
What?
What right? the fuck? So I'm like, I have to leave this call back. I tell Sean because he's in Hollywood. So at that point, he's still way closer to me. And I'm like, can you leave work?
It was my like second week or something like at.
Yeah,
that,
he had just started.
The thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
It was my second week starting there. Like, that matters anything. It's just like these people don't know me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so like I was like, I just got this thing and I have to like go figure it out. And they're like, yeah, sure you do. And stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like.
So she's unresponsive. So I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So it's like, and she's like, well, we live right by the fire. So the school is right by the fire station. Can we have the paramedics from the fire station? They might charge you. And I'm like, yes, of course. Please bring the paramedics there. Yes, absolutely. So, they check her out. Sean's making her way. She's doing better. Okay, great. But still come. You get there first, right?
Yeah. I feel like we talked on the
There's
phone.
So much traffic too. And I'm like, I can't get in a car. You're going to get in a car accident now. Like now's the time. But I'm like, I can't get in a car accident right now. Like, I have to get there.
What essentially comes out, because this is like our second day at this school, like we like them, but you know, once again, we don't know them. Is by the word unresponsive, what they meant to say is that
she's crying so much that she's not speaking.
Okay.
Words have meanings.
Words have fucking meanings.
Woo.
Unresponsive, you're thinking she's laying there.
She's dying.
Yeah, she's laying there just dead. like blinking, looking around.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. She's a concussion.
Yay.
Like, yeah.
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, so I show up and we've kind of heard the clarification on this, like in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, she's going to be okay. She'll have a Kuseg or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this point of like, okay, where do we want to take this? Like, am I showing up? And like, not to, you know, like this is Moira's, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say our daughter's name.
That's okay.
I guess it's okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You don't mean to like have,
you know, like it's her horrible thing that happened. Yeah. But like as a parent, like when something like bad happens to your kid and you show up and suddenly you're in Dateline ID mode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Where, yeah. You're like, okay, like what am I, how am I showing up into this room?
Yeah.
Am I here to like let everyone know, like if my child gets hurt here, you get hurt twice as bad?
Yeah.
You know, like are you showing up to be like, my child will be safe, and until you can tell me what safe means in your world and we both agree on it, you no longer see her.
Or here's a dictionary and this is what unresponsive means. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, totally. I know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust you.
Yeah. And by the way, like, Mrs. Shelley and this school have ended up being wonderful. It was just like bad
time. It's a great
time.
Place.
It was, timing. Yeah. And like, I think she was just like frazzled because we had just started there, and
she hadn't played with that outdoorsy family enough to know
how to walk.
We can't help her.
She was still bedridden.
These flat earthers over here can't help her.
Yeah. So
hang out with us.
Anyways, yeah. It all ended up okay, but that was like a lot.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And I had this moment with like the teacher's aide, who was like the one who was out there, you know, where it was, you know, like Miss Brittany, whatever, not her name, but also probably her name, and stuff. And she's. Well, I mean, she's a good person, whatever. And she's like, I was like, okay, can you walk me through this? I kind of need to understand, you know, like better, like kind of how this happened and stuff. And she's like, well, I'm pretty upset, but I think I'll be okay. And I wanted to be like, time out. Like, it's important for you to also feel your feels, but like, let's kind of make sure we all know that this little one is so much more important.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing.
It's hard, you know, I'll tell a quick story of I really try very hard. I don't like to parent other people's kids unless it's a dangerous situation and you are the only one who's there at that moment, or you see two kids about to clobber each other with some kind of a, you know, a toy.
Yeah. Right.
And you gotta be like, whoa guys, like hold on, like let's all settle down. You know, okay corral. Like, you know, try to be kind of neutral and whatever. However, when I witness or I see another child doing something to my child in a blatant manner.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's tough.
Ooh, it's tough. And the other parent doesn't see it, you know?
Or the other.
And at least like this happened not too long ago at like a play date situation. Mm-hmm. And one kid was a little bit older. I didn't see the act happen, but apparently Georgia fell down. She starts crying. I go over. I'm like, what happened? Did you fall off the chair? Did you fall down? Whatever. And one of the other kids says, he pushed her. And I'm like, ooh, okay. All right. Well, okay. Let's nobody push. And I was just trying to be very neutral. Uh-huh. And like, you know, the mom comes over and the little girl keeps saying like, he pushed her, he pushed her. And the mom's like, we don't know that. And I'm kind of like, okay, well, we don't know, but we have one child crying and one child who's not. And I was a little like mama bear at that moment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I comfort Georgia and she's fine, you know. Yeah. And then they all want to go back and like continue to watch their program play, whatever. Uh-huh. And Brandon is like, Brandon, he tolerates me. I'll put it that way sometimes. Yeah. But I walked back into that room and I looked at this kid who, if he had pushed her, knew exactly what he was doing because he was old enough to know that he had done that.
Sure.
And I put her back in there and I said, okay, everyone play nicely. And then I looked at him and I said, you learn to keep your hands to yourself. Do you understand me? I don't want to see anyone's hands on any other people's bodies. Or it will be vengeance. Do you get me? Vengeance?
Yeah.
Why? Vengeance?
Yeah, yeah.
He has no idea what I was saying. But then I was like, I'm watching all of you. And then I made the eye motion.
Yeah,
I did the eye motion.
Fingers in my eyes, fingers to them.
Yeah.
Like, what came over me? I became
protection,
like a crazy
man.
Person.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, everyone have a good time. Yeah. Like, what? Huh?
It's an instinct. It's protecting your kid, man.
I wanted to, like, strike a little bit of fear that is not a fun game that we play. And that is not okay with me.
Right.
But it was it was at a moment where I couldn't have taken my kid out of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the thing you really should do if you're nervous about situations, that you just remove yourself and you sort of
head off. Like, that's, like, life advice for all of our, like, remove yourself from the stuff. But, like,
or say, vengeance will be mine. Or something and just call it a day.
That kid
or declare
that
a blood oath.
And he looked at me like, huh? And then, you know, the other kid looked at me like, yeah. The reporter of the situation was like, ah! So yeah.
No.
But like the reporter kid is like, I was heard. And justice will be served eventually, you know. Yeah, so, like, the reporter could get something good
scared.
Out of this.
She was the most scared out of everyone, apparently.
Yeah. Well, also,
from what Brandon said, her eyes got like saucers. Yeah, when I said that, but no, everybody keep your hands to yourself.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you just don't want any kid to like hurt your kid. Like,
no,
Well, Moira has a lot of like drama with fellow kids at school. She's like, this kid won't play with me. Mm. They said I don't like you, and I don't want to play with you, and your hair is dumb. And I'm like, what? This kid sounds terrible. And then I'll drop like Moira off at school, and then she'll be like to that kid, I don't want to play with you. I'm playing with this kid right now. So go over there. And I'm like, she's already a mean girl, and she's got mean girlfriends. Right. Cool.
Yeah, you're like, I wanted for not this.
Starts
yeah.
so young.
God, it really does. Mm-hmm. You guys, this has been so awesome having you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for regaling us with your tales of terrible.
Yeah, and thanks for having us on Hollywood Darlings. We had a great time.
I can't wait to see that episode. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So
I can't too.
We'll definitely, we've got a lot of fun pictures we took, so make sure you check out my Instagram so you know what episode you can find Sean and Anne on. That will be airing this April.
Can I say something about like that experience, like just real fast?
Of course.
So because we shot over multiple days.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like we had our pages for the first day and I didn't know what happened with me. Like I didn't know where it was going. I knew like where like kind of the jump off was, but I didn't know where it was going. And so I was like, I'm like, am I okay? Am I awful? Am I, oh my gosh. What happens in this story?
Yeah.
And it was like totally worth it. It was very fun for me. But
yeah, you'll have to find out is what he's saying. No.
Yeah, totally. But at the same time, I was like, what is going on?
There's a moment where Brandon ends up, there's a physical altercation between Brandon and Sean. And it was a moment that like was going to get so pared down because, of course, we didn't have like certain stunt coordinators and this and that, and Brandon's like, I really just feel like I should still tackle Sean. And anyway, I'm like, I was like, you just want to like, you know, get back to your football roots. You just want to like get it. I was like, you talk to Sean about it. I don't know. Y'all figure it out. I mean, it'd be cool, but it worked out. I think it's going to be really funny. And
I think so too.
You know, there's sort of a twist at the end of all of it. It's ridiculous. but okay. So where can we find you guys? Where's the Twitter and the Instagram and all the stuff where you're funny?
I think I'm, oh my God, what's my handle? I should know this.
Ann Gregg.
And the Greg, I think.
And the Greg.
I think I'm at And the Greg. Yeah, I believe.
Steven
on Twitter.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I am.
I'm SB Casey.
And if we want to see some cool comedy, if you're in the Los Angeles area, Sean.
Yes, go to Santa Monica, California. And there, tucked away in the 3rd Street Promenade, you'll find West Side Comedy Theater, the greatest 99-seat comedy spot in all of Los Angeles. And I happen to have that with a couple other great comedy friends.
Yep. That's awesome. And do you guys have a Twitter or Instagram for that too?
Yeah.
Upcoming
West
shows.
Side Comedy. Yep. Yep. Shows 7 nights of the week. We had Adam Sandler there last night shooting a special.
Wow,
so it's always a fun time.
Yeah. I've performed there a couple times. It's a great little space. Yeah.
See?
A lot of fun,
only the best people.
Yay. Only the best. Yeah. And I want to go back and do something. It'd be a lot of fun. Cool. All right. Cool. Well, thanks you guys again. This was such
Thank
a blast
you.
To have you. I know. I've got a feral dog, as usual. Glad you guys could be a part of that. I'll get you a lint roller on the way out.
Okay.
She's got a cute little bandana, though.
Oh, yeah. They got groomed.
Yeah.
I know. Nice. I know. I like when they give them little outfits. Brandon always takes them off Cody, but I like to keep them on as long
looks
as I
good.
Can.
Looks good.
And Steven, as always.
You can always find me at Steven Ray Morris.
At Steven Ray Morris.
On all the things.
You can find me, Christine Lakin, at Yo Lakin. And if you want to follow Worst Ever Podcast, follow us at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. Write us, email us, tell us what you think about the show, or maybe have some suggestions for different guests you want to hear at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Great. What else, Steven?
Nope, that's perfect.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
See, we don't need a lot.
Yeah, please. Who's that guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll be back next week with another all-new episode, so stay tuned. Have a great one.
Bye.